Right, Lord, we thank you for Bob. We thank you for the prep he's put in for this talk. We thank you for his commitment to us. And we thank you that you have blessed him already with the words he's going to speak to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, this is going to be quite a short talk. It's more like a roundup of some of the stuff that we've been doing. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions of people. Right, I'm going to ask Derek first. So wake up, Derek. It's all right, don't nod off. Okay, Derek, what football team do I support?
Fulham.
How do you know?
Because you're always talking about them and you go there occasionally.
How do you know that?
Because I arrange it.
Yeah. So you're around it, aren't you? That's great. Lainey, okay. What was the name of the church we went to before this one?
Sutton Christian Centre.
How do you know that?
Because I was there.
Yeah? How do you know I was there as well?
She came with me.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's good, because you came with me. Okay, right. How does your dad treat me, Rachel?
Badly.
How? Let me tell you, that is so true. Okay, so how do you know that?
Because I'm there.
Because you're there. Because you are there. Okay, now, I had to draw these pictures here, okay, but they had to come out of my head, all right? The reason, why do you think they had to come out of my head? Let's ask, let's say a victim. Susan, why did I have to get those ideas out of my head?
Because you weren't there.
Because I wasn't there. That's right, because I wasn't there. Jesus chose these 12 disciples, his friends. And I'm just going to read three little passages about the life of Jesus, okay? And there is something that pops up in each one of them, okay? Right. Jesus was out with a whole load of people. He's given one of his sermons. He's talking to people a lot better than I'm talking now. And it says this in the Bible. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. There we've got some divine provision. Those people, not for the first time, were ministered to by Jesus with him providing things. A bit like the wedding at Cana, when Jesus changed water into wine. And I'm going to go now to the story that actually I did a kind of illustration of here. I was wondering what to do, because not being there, of course, I had no idea what it was like. It doesn't even specify the age of the young man who's brought back to life. I didn't have a clue, really. So this is what it says in the Bible, though. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the divine power of life that we see Jesus giving to that young man. The divine power that's in Jesus to give us life as well. The divine power. Here's another story from the life of Jesus. Jesus told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Divine wisdom from Jesus. Do you see the three things that connect those three passages? A word that cropped up in each one. Anybody? Divine, that's my word. What about the passage themselves? It does begin with a D. It's very straightforward. Disciples. You see, these stories, for me, had to come out of my head. But for the disciples, they were there. They were there when Jesus raised that young man. They saw his power. They could tell people about it. They could write about it. So that we know about it today. They were there because they walked with Jesus. They went where Jesus went. They saw what Jesus did. They heard what Jesus said. When Jesus fed those 5,000 people, it was the disciples who came up and said, "What are we going to do with this lot?" And Jesus told them what they were going to do, and they saw him do it. And because they listened to what he said and did what he asked them to do, they actually went around picking up all that food in those baskets, didn't they? They saw it. Why did they see it? Because they were with Jesus, walking with Jesus. That's how they knew about that divine provision, that provision from God, because they saw it. And they saw it because they were walking with Jesus. They were with him. And then the parable of the sower, one you've probably heard goodness knows how many times if you're a churchgoer, you heard it many times. But the first time that it was heard by those disciples. And I'm going to ask you, why did they hear it? Sorry? Say that again. They were there. They were with Jesus. They saw his provision. They saw his power. they heard his wisdom. And when they weren't sure, they asked him about it. Because Jesus has never minded anyone asking him stuff. God knows that we don't know everything, and he is quite happy for us to ask him about stuff. But in order to do that, we have to be there. This is a very simple talk, and I'm sorry if it's not massively clever or anything like that. But Jesus' friends, his disciples, they knew all about Jesus' provision and his power and his wisdom because they walked with him. They were with him. They were close to him. And my message this morning is one that I've said in different ways over the years. And it's really, really, really simple. Stay close to Jesus. Okay? Stay close to Jesus. And I can see Jill nodding her head over there, who's had a lot of experience and knows that staying close to Jesus is the answer. What did you just say?
The only way.
You know, that's at the heart of everything. You can be so good at all sorts of stuff. You might be great as some kind of prophet. You might be a decent, I think I'm a reasonable teacher. The kids at school that I used to teach at used to think I was all right. You know, we've all got different talents, you know. If you want woodwork done, ask Alan over there. He's amazing. You know, if you want a guitar played, well, there's a few. Well, actually, he can do that as well. But I was going to say Richard. Richard's all right. You know, Richard's good as well. And, you know, lots of us have different talents. But, you know, none of our talents, none of our gifts come down to anything unless we're close to Jesus. That's everything. Jesus is everything. There was a book once that was quite simply named Christianity is Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. He should be everything in our lives. Jill recently, sorry to mention your name in vain, Jill, but I was on one of the prayer things on a Thursday, and Jill was talking about putting on the whole armor of God. That's that bit in Ephesians. And I'd also seen something that, that you get if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was a whole thing that happened, you know, you sort of say about the day, about what happens on a day. And I thought, do you know what? I'm gonna take from that, and I'm gonna do the stuff about putting on the whole armor of God. And the first thing, because I'd read it somewhere else, is give the day to God. So now, what I'm trying to do this year is the first thing, as soon as I wake up, realize who I'm with. I'm with Jesus. And this is your day, not my day. This is Jesus' day. So I want to try and walk with Jesus. He won't get in the way of me walking around with Elaine. But, you know, it's how close we are to Jesus. Very simple, isn't it? But do you know what? One of the things that Jewish people say about when Adam sinned in the garden, you know, Adam and Eve sinned, do you know the first thing they did? What was the first thing they did? Can you remember? Say it again.
They hid themselves.
They hid themselves. For Jewish people, they often think that was the worst thing that they did, to try and hide from God. The first thing they did was they tried to hide from God. Isn't that sad? We have to not... You know, sometimes people have just forgotten that they've walked out of the presence of God. You need to be close, stick close. It's very easy in a relationship, isn't it? A human relationship, to forget to show love to the person you should be showing love to. Stay close. Stay close. Sorry if it's an easy... but that's what it's all about. So I'm going to pray, and that's it. Father God, help each one of us to stay close to you, stay close to your Son, and keep filled with your Holy Spirit. Help us not to walk away from you, try and hide from you, forget you. Help us to remember who you are, what you've done for us, how much you love us. And help us to just be your best friends. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.